I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Podsave the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Podsave the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Hello everybody, it's me Roscoe, and welcome to the latest instalment of the Kings of Anglia FPL podcast. And what a weekend of Premier League football it was for game week 11 as Ipswich Town beat Spurs 2-1 to record their first win of the season, their first win in the top flight since 2002. AJ was like 1 year old. He's with me as always as we look back at another game week. My friend, come in. Are you still buzzing from the Sunday Town winning at Spurs?
Yeah, I mean, you're saying I was about 1 year old. It's not that long ago, was it, really? I mean, I feel like in your eyes and in Mark's eyes, I'm probably about 14, maybe, like at a stretch. So, yeah, am I still buzzing? Yes, absolutely. Again, I feel like I've seen this in a different view, as we kind of touched upon last time, where everyone at the club is like, oh my God, it's the first win in 22 years in the Premier League. And that's great. And I feel that as well. But I've got this kind of slightly tunnel vision view of it, having come to the party quite late, obviously, where I just think it's such a great opportunity to crack on, isn't it? We're looking at the fixtures ahead. We talk about the upcoming fixtures a lot on this podcast in particular, and say, oh, I don't know where that first win's going to come. They've not got it at Leicester. They've got Tottenham next. Then they've got United, and then Forest, who are doing well. And then December's a horrible run. And yeah, they just shut all of us up by getting the first win pretty much right at the start of that. So that was really good. And hopefully now an opportunity to kick on, which would be great from an Ipswich perspective as a football club, but also makes things interesting from an FPL point, doesn't it? Because it means that there's a few more Ipswich assets that start to rise up and catch people's eyes. One in particular, of course, that I'm sure we'll touch upon, who I'm expecting will have a price rise before the next set of games.
Yeah, indeed. And obviously, now it's international break. There's always that question, is it the right time or the wrong time that it's come? But that's a question we can talk about later, maybe, obviously. But obviously, there's some talking points, both of our teams. And obviously, Spurs Ipswich game, there is some big talking points because they affected me and you in different ways, which we'll talk about. I want to go through my team first of all, AJ, because I'm that excited. The highest score this week was 136, average was 49. So that, do you think that's the highest we've had in a game week, 136?
Maybe. It's definitely been up there. Should we have a little look? 136, 111, I think. Oh, no. The higher, as in like the highest score that anyone's got. We've got 142 from game week. Game week six, that would have been, which was the Cole Palmer. Was that the one where he was at Brighton? And he ended up getting four goals. And someone triple captained him for 75 points.
Which, game week two has got 154, but obviously that was the Haaland. Probably the Haaland hat-trick against Town. And people triple captained him and other people got stuff. I actually got 77 points that week, so that was my best week, I think. What's your best week so far, AJ?
My best week so far, let's have a look. We've got 66. Come on, I've got higher than 66, surely. Well, there's an 80 in there, a 92. Ooh. 92 from game week three was my best one. That was when I captained Haaland against West Ham. He got a hat-trick. Salah got some good returns. Chris Wood, Isak, Saka, Rico Lewis on the bench. Yeah, that was a good week. And it's all gone downhill from there, as we'll touch upon in a second. I thought I'd done all right this week. And I feel like I have done all right. But I've been made to pay the price for my score at the same time.
Yeah. Mine is 63. What's yours, quickly?
For this week? Mm-hmm. 54. So you've done really well there. The other catch with it is that, and this is probably where I've had to bite the bullet a bit. I took a hit last week and I went with a minus four. I did that to get Salah in, which paid off. And I did it to get Dominic Solanke in, which did not pay off, unfortunately. So overall, I probably got more points from making the move, to be honest, because I captained Mo Salah, but yeah, a bit of a frustrating one. At least it means I've got a lot of money in the bank now.
Yeah, which is good. So my team, 63 points altogether. In goal, obviously, I've got Dava Raya. They drew 1-1 with Chelsea. Obviously, I had Cole Palmer in my team as well. They both got 2 points, respectively. Cole Palmer didn't do anything, which, against big teams, he doesn't, I don't know, he doesn't really do anything, does he? But against other teams, he's unbelievable.
Against the bottom three, bottom four, he'll go and hit as many goals as he wants. I think that, yeah, I wonder if there's a mentality thing in that potentially. I guess we'll get to wait and see. But yeah, I'm quite intrigued to see how Ipswich deal with him when he comes to Portman Road at the end of this year. That's one of those where, again, it feels harsh to say, but Ipswich are probably going to be a team that you would imagine would be in, let's say, somewhere in the bottom five in the Premier League, you'd imagine. And that is what Cole Palmer feeds off. Is there going to be a game plan? Is there a way to stop him? I'm sure there will be something that Kieran McKenna will want to do. But I wonder, yeah, I wonder what the psychology is there. Because I remember, was it last year, he scored a load against Man United. I remember he got a really good return from that. Other than that, when he plays the big teams, as you say, he tends to go a little bit AWOL, doesn't he?
Yeah, I'm actually going to quickly look and look at the next few games. He's got Leicester, Aston Villa and Southampton. So, yeah, should be good. Should be all right. Should be getting points there.
10 goals per game.
Yeah, take that. Go back to my defence. Pedro Porro. Obviously lost against Town, but he did get the assist for the Spurs' consolation goal. So he got me 4 points, which is nice. Anthony Robinson.
You know what? I think you've got it right in your head. It's just the way that you're saying it. I could tell what you meant, but you say it in a way. I don't know if you... Is there something that's going on here that means you can't say it?
Robinson. Probably. Robinson.
No, you just said Robertson there.
Anthony from Fulham got 6 points, so I was very happy about that. Did he get an assist in the game against Palace? He must have done. No, he got a clean sheet.
It was a 2-0 win.
4 points. 4 points. You get clean. I didn't know that. It's very good indeed. So, and obviously, he played the full 90, so he got 2 points. So, 6 points there for the Fulham man. Leif Davis got a point, which he got a yellow card, so we've got a minus point. So, but we'll get on to an Ipswich Town player very shortly. Jared Bowen got 3 points. Would that have just been for the assists against Everton? No, the clean sheet against Everton, I'm sure. And obviously the, just playing the full 90. Palmer already mentioned. Semenyo, I brought in for Dwight McNeil. And he didn't do anything for Bournemouth, which is frustrating. But they did lose 3-2 against Bournemouth. And there's a Brentford player that I want in my team.
3-2 against Brentford.
Yes.
Not 3-2 against Bournemouth. There you go. Okay.
Sorry. My captain, this is the first time where I really was looking at my captaincy and I put it on Salah. I think you did as well, AJ. Mm-hmm. 28 lovely points for his goal and assist against Villa, which was very nice indeed. Heung-min Son.
I want to ask a question now. Okay, yeah. So we know, let's get it right out of the way. He blanked. He did not do anything. No goals, no assists. Conceded 2 goals. So doesn't get any points for that. What did you make of his performance? You've got to see him live in the flesh now. And he's someone that you've kind of had in and out, shake it all about over the last few weeks. What did you make of him? Is there, do you see something where you're like, ooh, maybe he'd be someone I'd have in the future and he could get some returns? Or now you've seen him play, are you thinking, that's it, I'm not going to be going back for him?
Because, he's 9.9 million. That's a lot of money. In the flesh, there was a few moments in the game against Town where he was like, oh, it could be dangerous. He did get the chances. But, he was very quiet, though, wasn't he, really? So he's had a mixed bag. Obviously, he's had that injury. He came back from injury, a few weeks ago. So he's maybe not fully fit, potentially. Obviously, he played in Turkey, against Galatasaray in the, Europa League. So maybe, still feeling from that. They got Man City next. So
they always beat Man City. Tottenham always beat Man City. They could be in the relegation zone, losing every week, and Tottenham would still beat Man City. So,
yeah.
Yeah, maybe he's one to think about. I don't know.
Yeah, but then I think there's other players I could look at. So that obviously international break now, so there's going to be a lot of people now thinking, okay, sit back and reflect on their team, and he could be one that I may have a question mark on. So we'll get to them later. Ollie Watkins, 2 points. Obviously, Villa lost against Liverpool. Once again, you take that sacrifice, don't you, for like Salah getting 28 points, with Watkins only getting 2. Although it would have been nice for him to score maybe a consolation goal, and he gets a little bit of points there. And then Leon Delap, I backed him since the start. 11 points. Assist for Sammy Smodic's overhead kick. And obviously, Delap smashing one in from 1 yard to score the second goal. And 11 points from Leon Delap. And I want to mention Leon Delap a lot, AJ, because he's had a decent sort of points hole, hasn't he? 11 points against Spurs, only 2 points against Leicester, 5 points against Brentford, 2 points against Everton, 6 points against West Ham for the goal, and we lost 4-1. So not bad. 12 points against Villa, and then 1 point against Southampton and Brighton. Obviously 7 points against Fulham, and then 2 points against Man City and Liverpool. So he's had a decent return, good old Leon Delap. And yeah, he's given me 11 beautiful points up front, with Watkins obviously not recording much. And my bench, Danny Welbeck. Once again, AJ, I was debating as well with Delap. I'm actually going to go back on what I've just said. I was thinking, do I start Delap or Welbeck? And I just, you know what? I went on the final sort of like, because obviously the deadline was 1:30. I think when I was travelling up, I was like, you know what? I'm going to back the boy Liam Delap. And I was very happy I did indeed, because I would have been fuming if he was on my bench, because I did that, you know, a few weeks ago. I think I had left Davis on my bench. And of course, he goes and gets his scores or an assist. I don't know what it was, but I'm happy with my week. 63 points in total. Salah and Delap getting the main points. But yeah, happy days indeed. AJ, over to you.
Yeah, I think there's a Liam Delap debate to come with this, but I'll go through mine first. Dean Henderson, 2 points. Yeah, okay. A little bit, not really sure how to feel about this, because he just makes so many saves that he likes to rack up points. But Crystal Palace have not been good at football for a long time, and it is making me think. The only issue being I've not been good at rolling my transfers, as I spoke about taking the -4, which means I've only got one going into this one. You don't really want to use it to change your goalkeeper. Backline, Pedro Porro, 4 points, as Ross mentioned. Konate got 6 for his clean sheet against Aston Villa, which is good after a few weeks of blanking. Rico Lewis, every time I think about taking him out, he goes and gets a good kind of score. He had a really rough one at Brighton, gets a -1 for the goals he conceded and the -1 for the yellow card. So ends up with 0 points for that one. But he's just such a cheap way into the Man City defence. I don't really want to get him out, which is a problem. Midfield, Brian and Mbeumo. I'm really struggling with this pronunciation. I don't know why. I've always thought it was Mbeumo, but I now think I saw the pronunciation sheet at Brentford. They put it up on the screen, and I think it was Mbeumo, which just to me sounds like wrong and jarring, but here we are. He got 5 points, which seems good for the assist, but not really when you think that Vissa got a lot more points than he did, unfortunately. Saka got 2 and then picked up a knock, which means that he's out of England duty, which isn't great. Morgan Rogers got 1. You know what? I'm not that upset about that, because I've been on the Rogers train all along and he's done really, really well. So I'm happy with that. And Villa's next game, when you look at them, are really good as well. Palace home, Chelsea away, Brentford home, Southampton home, Forest away, all to come between now and middle of December. Our captain, Salah, to the tune of 28 points. Dominic Solanke, the less said, the better. Ollie Watkins, already touched upon. And Chris Woods, another interesting one. He just got 2 points this week, and that is the first time he's not had a return since the defeat to Fulham at the end of September. Only 4 games from 11 where he's not had a return so far, which is a bit sad. At the end of the day, for 6.6 million that I've got him in for, you can't feel that upset about it. I've actually got 6.6 now. I've got him in at 6.3. Yeah, it's a bit of a shame, isn't it? I think that it's a kind of a thing where everyone goes to get him in. He's now got an ownership of 24.4%. Everyone rushes to get him in, and then he blanks, because of course he does. And he's got Arsenal away next. So yeah, not wonderful that. And then I've got a series of blanks on my bench. Goalkeeper, Matthews, who always blanks, doesn't play. Fabio Carvalho, I think, might have came on for a minute and got booked for Brentford. So that's wonderful. Brilliant. Taylor Harwood-Bellis, welcome to the England squad. Weirdly, that's bizarre. But yeah, he played at Wolves and got no points because he conceded and also got a booking. And then I've still got Jacob Greaves on my bench because I didn't want to take him out. And because that comeback is coming, friends, he's almost back. Hopefully after the international break, he will become someone I can potentially put back into my team with a slightly more favourable run of games. So yeah, that's where I'm at the moment. And I think personally, don't want to dictate this podcast to take away from the host here. Is it time for a little talk about Liam Delap now, the asset? Because you've backed him from the start. I quite famously remember walking down the stairs after the Liverpool game, the 2-0, and I said to you, he played really well. I'm just not convinced by him as a signing. I thought the goals wouldn't be there. At 15 million, it's a lot of money. Yeah, that was wrong. I know a lot of Town fans were wrong about him. Probably a lot of people outside the club were wrong about him. But this is someone who came in, let's talk about it from an FPL perspective here. Yep. 5.5 million, I think he started on. That was the same kind of price tag as João Pedro, I think, was the real exciting £5.5 million option. Liam Delap's returns in terms of goals and in terms of assists, and you also have to take the positives from the performances. How is he like the star differential asset at the moment? Is he the one? Well, that's a lot of words. Is he the guy that you look at thinking he's going under the radar and he's going to keep performing? How do you see his future in your team?
Well, I'll just look him back because I didn't have him in my team originally. I've just backed him since we first signed him in the real life of football, not on the fantasy side of it. Obviously, it's still real. They're still players, getting you points. And
real to me, damn it.
Yeah. So, it was game week. Let me see. Game week 7, I brought him in and he got 6 points. And that
Which game was that?
Oh, let me have a look. West Ham. So that was... Obviously, he scored in that game, so I was like, even though we lost 4-1, I was like, you know what? I still got some returns from him. And I replaced him for Isak of Newcastle because I think he hadn't really done much. I think he had not really started, not many, had a few injuries, didn't he, Isak? I know he got a goal and assist for Newcastle against Forest last time out, so he did better than Chris Wood for you if you did have him in your team. But yeah, I've backed him since then, and he's actually started every game since for me. Even against teams, I was like, maybe not. But I think, for the price tag he's got, he's someone you could look at. Because I think he's always going to be a threat. We know the amount of times he's just took a shot out of nowhere, like the Brentford game. If he scored that to equalise in the dying seconds, that would have been another great point. And, he's done, those amazing runs. He even, had another great run. He obviously scored that little tap-in. But even at Spurs, he could have, got himself another goal at some point. So, if you, I also got the rule here, if you want to issue a Town player in your squad, Liam Delap probably is the man. Obviously, Lee Davis is the man to get the assists. Of course, scored last week, the last game at Portman Road against Leicester. What are you thinking, AJ? Are you looking to potentially bring good old Liam Delap in? Would you before? Because I had João Pedro in my squad, before as well. Obviously, I've got Danny Welbeck. I think that was my swap deal in terms of the Brighton players. And then obviously, I brought Delap in instead of, Isak. But who are your strikers again? You got Wood, Solanke,
and Watkins are my three. I transferred Erling Haaland out going into last weekend. And that was a really tough decision to make. And even worse when I was sat on my girlfriend's sofa in her family home watching the Brighton-Man City game, and I saw him open the scoring in that match. That was not enjoyable at that point. Kind of wanted to sink in on myself there. Thankfully, made up with the Salah goal and assist. And I think that the prices in this game are now getting to an interesting point, and there are a lot of headaches to have. I think that's with Haaland being 15 million, the kind of set and forget player for so long, especially before this year, but also now at the start of this season as well. It's made some of the game a little bit redundant, whereas now he's not scoring, he's not really had the returns over an extended period. It's forcing people to be a bit more creative, which I quite like. And I obviously went with Solanke, and and I know that the forward options in general, I like to go for the premium options that I've got. Wood is someone that I'm not going to be taking out for a long time unless he ends up blanking. Ollie Watkins' returns in general have been really good, albeit the last three have been underwhelming. They've got good fixtures coming up. And Dominic Solanke is someone who I just have that feeling can catch fire. But you think that in other areas of your team, if you want to free up money to go and spend, I'm lucky in a position where I've got about 5 million banked from taking Haaland out. But if you're looking at it, then why would you not go for Liam Delap? Because even if he scores once every two or three games, that's enough of a return to warrant what is probably, how much is it at the moment? 5.6, 5.7? He's still comfortably under 6 million at the moment. So he is the budget option, isn't he? He's pretty much the top goal scorer, I still think, at the moment in Europe's top five leagues under the age of 21 or 21 and under, rather. Teams haven't really found out what to do with him at this point. I haven't seen him get found out, which is a big worry, is that, oh, well, what happens at some point if a team looks at him and they figure out how to do it and another team has figured out how to do it? A bit like maybe some teams have done with Haaland so far. The only team that I think have shut him out entirely off the top of my head were Southampton, who gave him literally no sniffs of the ball at all. So, yeah, I think that as long as he keeps doing that, and it's not always about goals and assists, it's about showing that you can be a good performer and get good returns over an extended period, and that isn't always going to be shown by what you do within the 90 minutes of a football match, then there's enough reason to back him. My only concern is I'm going to jinx it, I'm going to put him in, and then he's going to blank. And I do not want that to happen ahead of the Manchester United game. Yeah. I really want him to keep scoring goals. And with that in mind, I know I want to be good at FPL, but I'm leaning towards sticking with what I've got at the moment.
Okay. Yeah, because even after Man United, obviously it's Nottingham Forest and then Palace. So they're games he could potentially score in as well. So, yeah, I'm back in the lap for the rest of the season, pretty much.
I think that as well, yeah. It's not always about, with him at this point, you don't look at it and say, he's not going to score in this game. He's not going to score in this game. This is someone who can create something from absolutely nothing. We've seen it against Brentford, against Spurs, all these teams. So I think that you don't have to like look at a run and say, oh, this is really, really hard. I don't want him in for these games. I think he's shown more than enough against the top teams, even against Man City. I thought he had flashes. So I think that there's enough there to now look at it and say, he's not someone that I'd look at the runner form or the runner games, rather, with. I'd just go for him because he's scoring goals against whoever.
Yeah, he's probably the best Ipswich Town asset you could have in your team, I think. Who would be after that? You think, would it be like Leif Davis, or is it any other players you think could get you points?
It's an interesting one, that. Sammy Smodic is flying nicely under the radar at the moment. Not a lot of money. He's 5.8. I think he started off on 6 and has gone down to 5.8. I don't think he started on 5.5. I think he has actually gone down in his price. So he's one. Amari Hutchinson's another at 5.2. I know he's not got the returns, but every week I say he's going to score first, and I'm saying it's coming, and it is coming. Connor Chaplin's one. He's not really one that I'd look at necessarily, but I've seen he's had a downgrade in his price, which was a little bit of a surprise potentially. I know that he's had quite a few starts and played quite well, but defensive assets are interesting. Ipswich's records with clean sheets aren't wonderful, but that would lead you towards Leif Davis potentially, and then from there I think Smodic is the one for me at the moment, because he's the guy who over extended periods and matches isn't doing that much, not touching the ball that much, but he's getting into the right places at the right time to score goals, and that's what matters in FPL.
Three goals this season so far. So, I'm sure he's going to have some more goals to come. So, AJ, should we cover the sort of key players this game week 11? And it's another Brentford player that is making his mark, and that is Wissa, who scored a few more goals for Brentford. And he's a player that I'm definitely looking at potentially bring in, because I've got no Brentford players in my team at all, and they're doing pretty good under Thomas Frank. Any other players you want to sort of look at and go, oh, he's doing well? There's, even like Wolves, they're, getting some results here and there. Cunha, their player, he's been scoring goals. I think he's got 5 goals and 2 assists, so he's another player that could be a good player to bring in.
Yeah, Wolves are an interesting one now. They've got an increased or a better run of games coming up. Fulham, Bournemouth, Everton, West Ham, Ipswich, Leicester is a lot easier than the start that they've had. they are probably, we talk about false positions a lot, and I don't really believe in it, but if there's one team that probably have been, I'd say it's been Wolves. I think they've been unlucky, and I think they've had a really hard run. Ait Nouri is another one. Defensively, I'm not that happy with my defence at the moment, and I might go and change things around. He, again, Wolves, better run of form, attacking fullback, definitely an option there. This one's going to be one to wait on, but I'm intrigued by Bruno Fernandes. Just to see what his role is going to be like under the new manager, Ruben Amorim, because he got a really, really good return in the last game week against Leicester. 17 points, a goal and two assists in that game. And a nice run of games. Ipswich, Everton, Forest on the horizon, Bournemouth and Wolves not too far after that. Yeah, with a couple of hard ones sprinkled in there. Just want to see what his role is. Obviously, might be overthinking it, but as a Portuguese player working under a Portuguese manager, that could potentially work in his favour. How's it going to be playing in what's going to probably be a back three for Man United from now on? Is he going to be on the left? Is that going to be comfortable for him? All things we'll need to wait and see with. Yeah, those are the ones standing out to me. This is an interesting one. The reason I'd just go away from it is because he's listed as a striker. And you look at as Brian and Mbeumo, who I know hasn't had the returns in the last two games, but is listed as a midfielder, plays in the same position, same areas pretty much as Wissa, I'd lean more towards him and just think that he's more likely to have a longer consistent run. Although Wissa at the moment, as we've said, is having a really good run of things, should have more points because he did get the goal against Ipswich, the first one. He should have had the second one, essentially. So he'll feel a bit aggrieved about that and should be on more points.
Yeah, I'm just looking now, like 11 points during opening day, 8 points against Southampton, 7 points against Man City. Obviously, then got injured. 10 points against Town, only 2 points against Fulham, but 13 against Bournemouth. So, not too bad. But yeah, I didn't actually know he's down as a forward. So, maybe I won't go too crazy about him. Because obviously, I'm pretty happy with my forwards. It's Watkins that I'm looking at, really. I'm happy with Danny Welbeck and obviously Delap. He's more of a striker. I want to quickly mention, AJ, about goalkeepers as well. Because are you looking, I'm maybe looking at maybe going away from Raya because, I don't know, Arsenal are not that clean sheet happy this season so far. They've had obviously injury problems, Arsenal, but I'm potentially maybe looking away from my goalkeeper. And obviously David Raya is one of the expensive goalkeepers in the game as well. So, you know, you've got Flecken, haven't you? And obviously Henderson.
No, I just got Henderson and Matthews as backup. I don't even think he is actually the backup. I think he's the third choice. Okay. I've somehow slipped in there. The season started the season started with FPL before the end of the transfer window. Palace signed Turner as the backup. By the time I made my team, Matthews was the backup. Yeah. So that was the issue that I had. I'm going to start with your bit first. Raya's an interesting one because the games have been pretty tough for Arsenal in the last three. Yeah. You'd say even the last four and before that, it was kind of hit and miss. They're not as strong defensively, are they? I've not got an Arsenal asset in my defence. I'd probably wait and see in terms of looking at the next games, Forest home, West Ham away, United home, Fulham away. I'd probably wait at least one or two of those weeks and see how that goes because you don't want to kind of go too far away and you're not going to make a huge profit by downgrading your goalkeeper necessarily. It's not like getting rid of Haaland and saving 5 million. You're looking at most 1.5 million, probably less than that. From my perspective, you know what? I really don't know what I'd do. I look at the goalkeeper options and I really don't like that many of them, to be perfectly honest. I don't think there's that many that are keeping clean sheets on a consistent basis. Jordan Pickford's interesting.
Yeah, that's what I was looking at.
Yeah, I don't have any Everton defenders at all. You obviously do. The legend that is
not playing now, though. Stop playing.
Yeah, shame. Other than that, I mean that the high ownership one, Danny Martinez, Leno's doing well at Fulham. He'd probably be another one that I'd consider. Flecken, potentially. The one thing I'd say about him is that Brentford are open. So you might get quite a few save points, but is that going to be too different to Henderson in my situation? If I was to make a change, Jordan Pickford's probably the way that I'd play it, I'd say. But with Sanchez in there, I'm quite low on Chelsea assets at the moment, despite the fact that in general they're doing quite well. They've lost twice so far this season to City and to to Liverpool, I think. That's it. So other than that, they've got results across the board and he's got good returns. And the fixtures at the moment, they've only got one red fixture between now and January 20th. That's a really good run of form. And that's Tottenham away, and you'd back them probably to get a result of that. So might be time to start looking at some Chelsea assets, and he's one that I'd definitely have a look at.
Okay. Also, it is now an international break, AJ. We won't be recording another podcast until the after the Man United game, which is bloody huge. Obviously, people may look at doing wild cards. Are you on that, you know, maybe same boat, or is that too soon for you?
Too soon for me. I'm happy in general with what I've got. I'm happy with the way things are going. I'm just a bit disappointed that a good game week's seen me kind of drop down the rankings a little bit, but you can't overreact, even if you feel horrible after a set of results. I've got to persevere, and overall, looking at kind of the games that I've got players going into in the next set, I'm fairly happy with it. You look at Watkins coming up, it's Palace, Salah's going to Southampton, Bremo, Everton, players like that, I'm hoping can get a good return. So I'm not going to overreact, but maybe a couple of changes in there.
Okay, I've got two free transfers, so I may be looking at, as you mentioned earlier in the pod about Sun Spurs, with his price tag, I may look to maybe get rid of him and maybe another player as well. I said I may look, I know you said maybe too soon about a goalkeeper, but I don't know, I may bring someone else in, but we shall see. Obviously, we'll record the next FPL podcast after the Man United game. We'll let you know our changes. But let's look at the leaderboard, AJ, from game week 11. Oh. And let's look how we're doing in terms of us as a four. Oh. You're still top.
Really?
Alex, 84th in the table. So you've gone down 30 positions, my friend. It's changing, isn't it?
Yeah, it just feels harsh. And it's like I've got a good score. Like, it's not a great score, but to drop 30 positions, I think that obviously one of the big things, a lot of people gone with Delap in an Ipswich league, as you'd expect, and that gives them just that little bit of an edge. And there's just so the margins are so fine. I'm on 663 points. You look up to maybe, let's say, 679. That would take you up to 35th. So there's only a few bits in it. All it would take would be 11 points, like a Liam Delap got, to change all of these things. So, yeah. Don't panic. Yes, I've slipped down the leaderboard quite painfully, but we're only in November, friends. We're only in November.
Very true. The third international break, obviously. I'm 150th in second place, ladies and gentlemen. Ooh. So I've gone over Stu once again. Hopefully it'll last more than 1 week, but we shall see. I'm on 643 points, AJ. 20 points away from you, but that...
Oh, wow.
You know, I could have one bad week and then, yeah. But, or, you know, I could triple captain somebody and then, boom, I'm over you. But, yeah. Like you said, it's still November. But, how you feeling, mate? I'm getting closer and closer to you, which is
if you overtake me, I will be physically sick. I will vomit on a podcast. That sounds like a threat or like a promise. I won't actually. But, yeah, that would be quite a kick given how well I've done and how good I've felt about doing as well as I've done and getting abused weekly by Mark Heath for doing as well as I have done. At least, as you'll touch on, I don't think I'll be finishing lower than him this year. So there's positives to take.
No, yeah, sorry, Heathy. But Stu is dropped a lot of positions. So I was 197th last week. I'm now 150th, as I mentioned. Stu was actually 151st last week. He's now 200. And 25th in the table. He didn't have a great week. Let's actually quickly look what Stu had in his team. But as in, like Stu doesn't look, does he? He doesn't look at the table.
He doesn't care about the game when things are going badly. Let's say that. Yeah, only when things are going well.
So let's have a look. So yeah, West Ham goalkeeper, the Polish goalkeeper, Fabianski, I think I said it right. He got 9 points for him because he got a clean sheet. So that's a good one for a goalkeeper. Haaland got 10 points because his goal captained him, and then Konate, Fulham man, got 6 points, and everyone else got 2, and obviously had Solanke in his team, which didn't do too great.
How many points did he get?
43, so under the average, so a very bad week for Stuart Watson. 225th, so I'm above him again, But hopefully I stay there longer than last time, because it was 1 week, as I said. Heafy is 918th in the table. He's gone down once again. He was 839th in the table. Just going to quickly look at his team. I know he didn't have a great week. Let me quickly find us. I've got to scroll for days here to find him.
Yeah.
Victory,
so far down.
The victory Sakars. Kanate got on 6 points. Haaland 10 points. The Brentford man that I can't pronounce, and you are now changing. Yeah, he got 5 points for him. Luis Diaz got him 3 points. Rodgers 1 point. Son and Solanke in his team got him 2 points or 4 points together. So not too good. I have a feeling. I don't know if he has used his wild card yet, Heathy. If you are listening, my friend, I think a wild card is probably going
to
have to be.
We know he's listening. Yeah, he needs to fight. He's going to be sat here. And he knows that his ears are burning right now. Yeah. He's going to be at the gym listening to this. I tell you right now. So, yeah, this is our advice to you. This is Ross's advice to you.
Yeah,
wild card out.
If you haven't used it already. If you have used it, then you're screwed for the rest of the
season. Just pray, mate.
Yeah, pretty much. And once again, we've got a new leader. He's been there before. He's been there, done that, and he's back on the top, and that is Josh Bolton of Bolton Wanderers. He's in front by 9 points, AJ. 74 points this week. He captained Salah. And Emile Smith-Rowe got 11 points, and he was a player. When I saw he scored for Fulham, I was like, do I bring him back into my team? I have a feeling I'm going to flip-flop with different players, like Dwight McNeil.
I've got Palmer at the moment.
Yeah, but then Palmer's a bit cheaper, though. Palmer's more expensive than, say, Smith-Rowe.
Yeah, so, exactly, yeah. I've got my budget asset. I'm sticking to my guns with Morgan Rodgers, but with the money I've got in the bank, I'm a little bit short of getting Cole Palmer back in directly, but just that run of games that Chelsea have got at the moment. Do I want to be on Chelsea assets a bit more? I haven't been from the start because I saw Enzo Maresca coming in and thought, oh, well, they're screwed. And Enzo Maresca has shut me right up, hasn't he, in terms of how he's done. So, I'm a little bit more concerned about going without their assets. When you look at their run, and the hardest games they've got between now and February are Tottenham and Man City away. That's it. Other than that, it's pretty much a run of mid-table to bottom half teams, and that's exactly what you want to be on.
Very much so. He's also got a Wolves defender, and it's 8 Nori.
It's the one I was having a look at potentially. Yeah. He's got the good attacking returns. He's getting clean sheets at the moment. Well, not really getting clean sheets, but good attacking returns and good run of fixtures.
He got back-to-back 9 points in defeats against Liverpool and Brentford. So, and he got 6 points against Brighton as well. So, not too bad. And how much is he? 4.7 million.
Yeah. Won't be for long.
Probably not now because, he's getting loads of points and we've just mentioned it on the FPL pod. No, we're giving away secrets here. But Josh Bolton is already in there and he's top of the table. Luke Boddy would give me a lap dance like that. He's second in the table. Mo Salah got on the points. He actually got Isak in his team, got 11 points. Also Smith Rowe. Pickford in his goal, got him 11 points. Delap on his bench, though, AJ. Oh,
ouch.
Yeah, Chris Wood. He started Chris Wood.
Ouch.
Oh, but he also had Fabianski from West Ham on his bench as well, who, of course, got 9 points. So both of his goalkeepers got 20 points together.
That's all right, though. It's at the end of the day, you can only start one goalkeeper. Yeah, if your goalkeeper does well and your backup goalkeeper does well, you might be kicking yourself if you've not done a bench boost, but it's not like, I mean, the one that always comes back to me was when you had your Leif Davis on the
and Michael Keane.
Yeah, and Michael Keane, he's got you've had some rough ones, haven't you?
I have. I didn't know Bruno Fernandes got a lot of points this week.
That's because we were at Tottenham when he was playing.
Yeah, very true. But yeah, I've just seen who had Bruno Fernandes in his team. I think that's Tom Moody. No Mari, no Party. He got no, he didn't have him. Who had him in his team? I swear someone in this bloody lineup had him in his team. I have no idea.
Behind the scenes of Ross's brain as we try and figure out.
It was Golly Gosh. Good old Golly Gosh.
Ah.
He captained him for 34 points. So
that's good.
Not too shabby at all. And I think I did bring in Bruno Fernandes for one game week. I think that's when I did the free hit. I think I brought him in and they didn't do nothing, so I took him out straight away. Well, he was out of my team because it was a free hit, which we know.
It was a good week.
It was a very good week. I'm just having a look at some other people who've got some big points. He actually got 88 points, golly gosh. Andrew Yallop, Suffolk in sheet. I think clean sheet. Very good. He got 91 points. He also got Bruno Fernandes in his team. Salah, Pedro Porro, Smith Rowe, Wissa with 13. My boy.
Not sure that was supposed to be Suffolk clean sheet, mate. But no. Yeah, that's fine. That was what he was going for.
No. He had Fabianski on his bench with 9 points, so he would have got even more points. Any other big points this week in the...
That Suffolk and sheet one, we're going over that. I hope we don't have to beep that out. He's got Fabianski's bench and 3 town players. And all of the wrong town players. So fair enough. Picking 3 Ipswich players and you chose the wrong ones across the board. I'm really sorry for calling you out. Who was it? Andrew Yallop, if you're listening. It must hurt a little bit, though. You've gone with Hutchinson, Davis and Greaves and you missed out on Delap and Smodics there. Yeah, painful.
Really painful. Vinny Thomas has got 83 points. He's got 2 Man United assets in his defence. Mazzuri and Delitt got him 6 and 8 points, respectively. Cunha as well got him 12 points. Mo Salah captained him for 28 and Smith Rowe. So a good week. And he also got Mikalenko.
Mikalenko.
Oh, dearie me. Can you pick players I can pronounce? That's why I don't pick them. Anybody else who got some really good points this week? I'm just going to scroll.
Why has Ross struggled in FPL? Because he only picks the players he can pronounce.
Pretty much. 90 points here for Kieran McKenna's dream team. This is Colin Payne. 90 points. Sort of
Colin Payne, who's also written a very long name.
Yeah, just look at that. Adapting the Kieran McKenna strategy.
Of football.
Doesn't say the rest of football. I think it must be. I'm just going to scroll down a little bit more to see if there's anybody got more than 90 plus.
97.
Where is this?
This is 68th place. Harrison Rogers, Leaf and Death.
Ooh.
What a team here. Mazraoui for 8 points. Robinson for 6. Mbeumo for 5. Fernandes for 17. Smith Rowe for 11. Salah, captain, for 28. And Isak for 11, as well as Haaland for 5 for his goal. Poor. I think in this league we're going to struggle to top 97. That I think might be, we might have to crown that without looking all the way down.
The
best score of the week in the KOA league. So fair enough. Can't really argue with that. Well done to Harrison Rogers. He must have rocketed up the league.
He must have done, definitely. Yeah. If you got hot on that, let us know. And I'm also going to do a bit of admin live, AJ. Going forward, I will look at the leaderboard and pick out the biggest scorers so we don't have to do this every time. So I was thinking that in my head, like, people must be going, couldn't you just done this before and made a note? And I made a note, and that is what we're going to do going forward. So any other things you want us to improve on KOA FPL, let us know. And as I said, one day we'll get on some of the key FPL people. Because Josh Bolton has become a regular man on this. Mm. I'm trying to think where Thingby gone. Daniel Gant has gone to 8th. Where is we had another regular? Mike Marriott has gone down to 25th. Mike, got to sort yourself out with Skyline Drifters. But also AJ was up there as well. Now he's dropping down a little bit.
Oh, I wasn't that far. Whoa. No. I wasn't that high up.
True. AJ, any other business? As I said, we're not going to be doing any changes, I assume. I know there's a few people, actually Liam from Crew, who I was playing 5-a-side with yesterday. He said he's already done his changes. I was like, that's too early, mate. That's too early.
You don't want to do it before an international break. I don't think that's the risk.
No. Injuries.
I'm going to quickly, we won't go over it too much, but we'll have a quick look ahead at some of the key games here. Leicester-Chelsea, we talked about Cole Palmer scoring against... can I say it? Against crap teams. I thought that Leicester were crap when they played Ipswich. Sorry. So I'm just going to come out and say it, even though they got a point. Leicester have not been very good in terms of their performances recently. And I think Cole Palmer can hurt them. Arsenal, Nottingham Forest. Can Chris Wood get back to goal-scoring ways? Not the easiest place to go and do it. Aston Villa, Palace. Villa have faltered in the last few. They've lost, how many is it in a row? 4 in a row for the first time under Unai Emery. That was his 100th game at Liverpool. They lost that one 2-0. But Palace are not very good, so maybe a chance for points there. Brentford, lots of assets that people have. They're at Everton. Everton, not great, but very, very solid, basically. City, Tottenham, a lot of people with City assets, with Haaland. Tottenham obviously coming off the back of that result over the weekend. And you'd say that it's an opportunity for Man City to get back to winning ways. Again, they've not lost four in a row under Pep Guardiola. I'm not sure Pep's lost four in a row in his managerial career. So that's an interesting one there. Liverpool going to Southampton. How many goals can Mo Salah score? Southampton have this record of sometimes just shutting out good teams. They only conceded one to City, so who knows. And then Super Sunday, of course, we have to touch on it. Ipswich, Man United. Can the lap keep it going? What are we going to see that stands out to us from a Ruben Amorim team? Are there bits that we like, players we could see starting down the line with an extra defender in? Is that going to mean that one of their attackers drops out? Things like that. Lots to look out for. But we'll have to have a little think about that with our changes. There won't be a pod going into the next round of games. But if you like our FPL talk, tune into the main pod next week when we build up to the Man United game. Be sure to have a little chat around FPL going into the next game week.
And see if Mark Keith is going to use his wild card if he hasn't used it already. Well, AJ, always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for joining me. Thanks, everyone, for watching another KOA FPL pod. Hope you've enjoyed. We're still looking for a new sponsor for this Ipswich Town KOA podcast. So if you've got a business and want to sponsor a podcast and get your name out there, contact mark.heath@newsquest.co.uk to get in contact and we can talk to your people and you'll talk to our people. And well, hope you enjoy the international break. I'll be back after the Man United game to look back at our points and how we've done and look at the leaderboard and stuff like that. And will I take over AJ or will he just go further and further away from me? We shall see. Bye for now.
I'm Alistair Campbell from The Rest is Politics.
Nish Kumar here from Pod Save the UK.
And Christiana Figueres from Outrage and Optimism.
Rising inequality, conflict, climate disaster, it's very hard to find reasons to be hopeful about the future.
That's why we're teaming up this September during the 80th General Assembly of the United Nations.
Along with Political Currency, Pod Save the World, The Week Junior, and more.
We'll discuss the stories that give us hope and answer the question, how does hope turn into action?
Look out for the Be Hope Takeover this September.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.